Blog Talk Radio.
Turmoil fans, welcome back to the show here on another Sunday afternoon. QT and Sign Guy with you as usual. Real quick before we jump into things with a guest today, some show notes if you're looking for wrestling today. Lots of action in our neck of the woods. You have WAC in Everett, Washington. You have WCWC happening in Salem, Oregon. And Blue Collar Wrestling tonight, like usual, at the North Portland Eagles. Also, a show note, we want to make note that there was an error on Friday's show when Nacho Barrera was discussing who inducted him into the Hall of Fame. It was not Sonny Rogers. It was, in fact, Trevor Blanchard and Jim Blaze. So we wanted to make sure we made that correction. So if Jim Blaze and Trevor Blanchard were listening, so Barrera meant to put you in there as the people that did put him in the Hall of Fame. And now I want to bring on our guest as we continue with currently an active month, someone we have had on the show before, someone I know quite well, King Dale Houston. Welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me back, Sign Guy. How you been?
Pretty well. Now, as I mentioned, we are in the middle of currently an active month. We have not seen you grace a ring for a while. So could you tell the listeners a little bit about why you decided to step away for right now?
Well, find out I was having a few health issues, and I had what they call a heart hiccup. And the doctor said, I need to stop for a year, make sure everything's okay before I can get back in the ring.
Well, hopefully you are doing well and listening to the doctor so we can see you back. But for the fans that don't know, you started in the territorial days of pro wrestling. You worked for a few territories. You were up in Canada for Al Tomko, you worked some for the AWA, and you have been very active on the independent circuit over the last many, many years. Looking back on the course of your career, did you have a preference as far as it went in terms of territorial wrestling or independent wrestling?
Well, you know, I mean, back in those days, it was still a lot of territorial stuff, because if you worked for this promoter, they didn't want you working for that promoter. And so if you tried working a few independent shows, it wasn't bad, but, you know, you just kind of went, they kind of frowned on that. And that was kind of the downside when it was still territorial. They didn't want you going somewhere working some other smaller house show or something, and because it took away from their show. So it was pretty hard back in those days.
Now, that might be part of why they, so many people always carried masks with them in their gear.
Yes, I've done that too. I've worked a couple times a night on certain shows.
I know you have.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that a lot of wrestlers get into, especially if they're not active in the ring for a given amount of time for whatever reason, is the role of booking. It's a very important part to any promotion, and a lot of people that get into wrestling eventually try their hand at it. Have you done much as far as booking goes?
Well, you know, I mean, I've helped a few of the other shows out, saying, here's what you need to bring in for a talent. Here's what you need to bring in to do this kind of storyline. And here's what you need to do that kind of storyline. I mean, I really don't like booking because it causes a lot of hard problems. So it's one of those things where you can offer advice, but it's one of those kind of areas that I really like to stay out of.
You and me both.
Yeah. It makes a lot of friends enemies really quick. When, why didn't you book me? Why didn't you? It's like, hello, you have to go with the storyline that's working at the time and who you need to bring in to do what for this and that to put the storyline out there to keep the fans coming back.
Now, you obviously, as someone that's been around in the territorial days and has been to a number of different independents, have been to many, many different venues. A wrestling ring can be set up in any number of places. Wherever a promoter can find the space for a ring and some chairs, they can hold a show there. In your career, what would you say has been the best venue where you performed?
You know, there's definitely been a lot of them, but I mean, the funnest one that I ever worked was the Mule Palace in Marlee, Montana, for the AWA. That was the most fun. I mean, second would probably be Dave DiBiase back in the days over at Fort Lewis. That's where it was a lot of fun.
Now, speaking of DiBiase, he, of course, at one point was the youngest promoter in the country when he first started promoting wrestling at the beginning of his career. When you were first introduced to a young DiBiase, did you see the potential in him as someone that was going to have the success that he's had, where he's been able to travel all over North America to wrestle?
You know, I mean, Dave is one hell of a guy. Yeah, I mean, even back in those days, I got started late in my years for wrestling. And the younger kids would always show the enthusiasm, the ability to work, and not let that deter them to make themselves better. He's one of those guys that made it.
Now, one of the other things that you have done in the last couple of years is you've occasionally gone out as a manager for some people. Managing is sort of a dying art in professional wrestling. It looks like maybe the national companies are just starting to bring a few more managers into things. Independence, it's always been kind of hit or miss as far as managers. You've seen a lot of them out there. You, of course, yourself have filled that role. Who would you say are some of the better managers that you've come across in your career?
I mean, I had quite a few back in my younger days. But, I mean, I go back, I hold loyalty to a lot of the old guys from Canada. I mean, bar none, I don't care, out of the WWF, the WWE, bar none, the best manager in my book, and still is, was Jonathan Sayers when he worked with Diamond Timothy Flowers. That guy was, he was another Bobby the Brain Heenan. I mean, there are some good ones out there, but a lot of the older generation that were wrestlers and went to being managers understood the aspect of the business in order to draw the fans in. The younger ones today, they have a hard time getting over with that aspect, in my opinion. I mean, I'm back in the days when they had them all there, you know? I mean, I broke in the business with Buddy Wayne. My first match, and his first match, was him against I on Vashon Island.
I'm not going to say it doesn't hurt me in my left kidney that you didn't mention me when you brought up them great managers, but Fuzzy Sayers definitely was a tremendous manager.
Sign guy, I'm sorry, I love you to death, but you're right there next to him for the reason, you know why? You take more bumps and take more beatings than I've ever seen in the business. For a guy your size, you ought to be dead by now.
That's what doctors have told me.
Well, I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I've seen some of the nasty spills and everything that you've done. And, you know, by golly, you're just like, you're like the Timex watch. You take a licking and keep on ticking.
I try.
I mean, I'm sorry you're number two on my all-time favorite. But, you know, I mean, Jonathan Sayers, the way he could play it on TV, I mean, just unreal.
He was definitely good.
Person,
no question.
And in person, believe me, you're right up there. I mean, anybody else in the Pacific Northwest or around anywhere else, they don't hold a candle to you.
I appreciate that for sure. One of the things that has gained a lot of momentum in professional wrestling in the United States is Lucha Libre style wrestling. We see a lot of promotions popping up that are Lucha style exclusively. We see Lucha Underground pop up on television. It's gained a lot of traction over the last few years. Did you wrestle a lot of Lucha style wrestlers in your career?
Back in our days, they weren't even on the radar. I mean, everybody knew that they were there, but I mean, back in my days, it was wrestling. And, I mean, anymore, it's like, if you're an acrobat, good for you. But that, in my opinion, I like them, and I don't want to knock them. But to me, that's not wrestling. That's acrobats. And, again, that's just my opinion. They're good athletes. They're very great at what they do. But that's not telling the story of wrestling, in my opinion. And I'll probably catch a lot of heat over that. But, I mean, that's – you're talking to a guy that's old school that can still speak carny, and these kids don't even know what you're doing.
I speak Zeke Kizarni, Wizel, Sizelf Tizak.
Yeah. Bezuck and Mezark, right?
Rizite.
Ask them what a Snavis Kasem is. They have no idea.
I still have some people across the country looking for the turnbuckle key.
Yeah. I'm telling you what. I mean, and I owe a lot to the guy, and I'm so sad that he's gone. I mean, he was my road partner for two solid years. That's Buddy Wayne, you know? He taught me how to speak carny. He gave me my stage name for TV. And, you know, that guy, he was just, I've done a lot of crazy stuff with that kid. I miss him dearly, and there'll probably never be another one around like him. But I owe a lot to him. He just, and I miss him dearly. I don't want to boo-hoo, but I mean, a lot of the guys in Canada, I still stay in touch with. Rocky Del Estero, The Frog, Vern Siebert. They beat my butt so many times on TV, it's like my eyes got retina burned from looking at the lights, you know? But I had a lot of respect for them. Yeah, I mean, those guys, you know, and there's a lot of guys around here. I mean, look, you got the pimp. I mean, he's like, right? I mean, I don't know what I got pimp in the business. But there's so many wonderful guys. My old tag team partner, Marty, I mean, bless his heart, he's already passed away. There's so many of them that, you know, I'm just fortunate that I'm still alive and around to be able to say, hey, you know. And you've got other promoters. I mean, I worked here with the SCW for a lot of years. You know, Ron Sutherland, he's another one. I mean, he gets his own. He's right up there with him. You've worked for him before.
Absolutely.
You know, and I mean, Kevin Sullivan, he's another great. I mean, he's there to, he'll give anybody a hand up and say, I mean, greatest mastermind in the business. I was glad that I've got to work with him so many times here in the Northwest as I have. It's one of those things, I mean, a lot of the older guys, they're, you know, I hate to say it, we're all a dying breed. But, you know, it's hard because we don't understand their language and how they want to do things today. I mean, in our day, it'd be like, here's the finish, okay? The rest of it, if you can't understand me why we're out there, you're in trouble. We don't have to work 15 high spots and only get two done. This is what we're going to do. You had to do it with what the crowd was wanting. That's what drove your match. So, just my opinion.
I agree with you. Outside of myself, not a whole lot of people say, you boom, 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 all bang, 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 hit the finish.
Yeah. Young kids nowadays don't have the total concept. It's, yeah, they ask half of them. They don't even know what the office is. So, and that goes back to people that are training them. They didn't have a clue to start with. Now, there's a lot of guys out there that train people. But the psychology, the knowledge is what they don't have, with the psychology being the number one factor.
Well, we have come to the part of the show where we have a game we like to play called Word Association. I will throw out the names of people you likely have come across in your career, and the first word or two that pops into your head is the answer. Are you prepared for a round of word association?
You bet.
All right, here we go. First name, Dayafullah Dabashi.
Yep.
Sergeant Slaughter.
Yep.
Matt Farmer.
I'm sure.
Aaron Bolo.
Yep. Know him good.
Vaughn Hess.
Yep. Know him good.
Bulldog Bob Brown Jr.
Not so much.
Al Tomko.
Yep. Always treated me great.
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. Always treated me great.
Tex Thompson.
Yep. No one.
DJ Edwards.
Yep. Know him too.
And the last one, Sonny O'Mara.
Yep. Know him very well. Used to be my partner.
Hopefully he didn't talk your ear off while he was standing on the apron.
Yeah, really? You think?
Well, at this time, I'm going to pass things over to my co-host, QT Vokes. I know he has some questions for you, so Thez, help you as I pass it along.
Sign guy, it's always a pleasure getting to talk to you.
Pleasure is all mine. QT, take it away.
Well, thank you, Sign Guy. Hello, Dale.
What's that?
Hello, Dale. How's it going?
It's going pretty good.
Dale, I'd like to ask a question about the condition that has kept you out for about a year. Does it have anything to do with your diastolic and systolic pressure, blood pressure?
My blood pressure is fine.
Oh, okay.
It was an anxiety attack, really.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, Dale, I saw your YouTube video entitled Timothy Flowers versus Dale Houston, Everybody Bleeds. And this
yep.
was for All-Star Wrestling in Vancouver in 1986.
Right.
Now, the subject of entrance music has led to many questions on this show. Timothy had three lady country music singers escort him down the aisle, and I believe the song that was being sung was called A Perfect Stranger. And the three ladies were the Marlene sisters.
Right.
My first question is, did you find out if Timothy ever made any album covers of theirs?
Not that I know of. I mean, they're the ones that just put him out for the TV. I don't know if he made any with them or not. I remember them very well.
Oh, yeah. Well, they weren't they were fairly easy on the eyes. What they were doing with Timothy, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I can't say there.
Well, Dale,
even if I did know, I wouldn't spit it out.
Oh, okay. Yes.
You never rot out a brother.
Well, Dale, I did a Wikipedia search for them, the three sisters, and it turned up negative results. I also did a YouTube search and plugged in a perfect stranger, but I did not see any three ladies. I think Timothy Flowers was lying and hired some actresses. That's what I think.
You know what? I don't know. I wasn't the promoter. I wasn't the booker. And I sure wasn't involved in the angle. So I have no idea to that.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, Dale, there does seem to be a male country group called Perfect Stranger. And on YouTube, you can hear their song. They have a song called You Have a Right to Remain Silent. I listened to the song, and it was very good. I think I am going to try to and establish this song, You Have the Right to Remain Silent, for Northwest great Darth Carter. Because,
okay.
Because Darth Carter is usually silent. Yes, that's what I'm trying to establish this. Darth Carter.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Now, by the way, did you have a chance to have Darth Carter as your tag partner at any time?
No, not that I can remember.
Okay. Do you think, well, yeah, I would hope that you go on YouTube after our interview and look up this country group called The Perfect Stranger and their song You Have a Right to Remain Silent, and maybe you can say yay or nay if this would be a good entrance music for Darth Carter. That would be very
okay.
Good.
Perfect Stranger and Darth Carter.
Yes.
And
their song You Have a Right to Remain Silent. Yes. Okay.
Remain, S-I-L-E-N. I'm writing it down. Okay. I got it.
Now, in all your wrestling matches or opportunities in the ring, did you ever take out your teeth and bite Darth Carter?
I mean, if I could remember who Darth Carter was, I might remember, but yet I've taken my teeth out and I've ground them in people's head.
Wow. Okay. Who was your most memorable or the one person that your teeth had the most impact on? The one person that.
I would probably say C.J. Edwards.
Wow.
A young upstart from Portland, Oregon.
Now, why did why did your teeth affect CJ the most?
And most people, it's like, oh my God, what's he doing? He pulled his teeth out and ground them in this guy's forehead. It's one of those things, your other worker, he never even expects it. So sometimes to get a jolt out of the crowd, you got to go above and beyond.
Wow, all right. Did you ever bite Kevin Sullivan with your teeth? Kevin Sullivan?
Nope. Nope. Uh-uh.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Dale,
really, I would like to live, okay? So Kevin Sullivan's not a guy you want to bite.
Yeah, I would kind of agree with you. If you look at that neck, it looks like a fire plug. Yes.
Yeah. He's got a little head that just sits on his shoulders.
And those shoulders are pretty broad. They remind me of the Master Lock wrestler. Yes.
He Kevin's a really good guy.
Yes. And okay. Well, Dale, in the late 60s, Gatorade made its appearance on the national scene as a sports drink. It claimed it could replace the electrolytes a football player could lose in the hot Florida sun. Since then, many wrestlers swear by their own pre- and post-match liquid intake, and a lot of it is not Gatorade. My question is, do you ever use the brand of tea called Traditional Medicinals Organic Echinacea Plus Elderberry Flavor?
That's too many words for me to understand. Never did it.
Oh, okay.
I understand
it's
the four-letter word. It's called beer. B-E-E-R.
Whoa, beer, yeah. Okay.
A couple
right.
of beers, you go work, it's all good.
Yeah, ice cold beers, yes. Okay. All right, I'm just going to probably say put down a nay by elderberry flavored Echinacea tea. Okay, but you probably never had that. Okay.
Way past my pay grade.
All right. Well, Dale, I also saw your YouTube video entitled "Taskmaster Kevin Sullivan, Randy the Pimp Taylor, and Paul Preston versus Coach Mike Jones, Dale Houston, and Org." Have you been
right.
able to meet? Have you been able to meet the thousandaire extraordinaire player, nation manager, Y period T period Jones from the great state of Alaska?
I'm. You got too many words in there for me. Run the question by me again.
Okay, have you ever met the manager out of Alaska who was actually here last night in the Northwest, Y period, T period Jones?
Well, I probably met him when I went to Alaska, but unless I seen his face, probably the only way I'd recognize him.
Oh, okay. All right. He's on Facebook, and he's a very good manager, and he's the thousandaire extraordinaire. He was in Vaughan last night. But I think he would make a very good if he loaned his services to Randy the Pimp Taylor, you would have immediate success.
Well, I mean, I haven't seen any of the videos or any of that. So I'm like, I don't know. I'm pretty sure I probably haven't seen the guy work. So.
Well, Sign Guy and myself, we'll try to get together and send you some videos of this Y period T period Jones.
Yeah.
Yes. And you can get back.
And I'll look at it.
Okay. And you can get back to us and see if he ever teams with Randy the Pimp Taylor, how this immediate success would come about. We'd like your input on this.
Oh, yeah. I can do that.
Because I believe a Y period, T period Jones, and Randy the Pimp combination would be the greatest combination since Reese Peanut Butter Cups.
Really? You better find something better than Reese Peanut Butter Cups. I'm like,
okay,
young don't mix, okay? Really? So,
how about
you'd have better luck with me and the Pimp wrestling as tag team partners.
Well, I think it is about time that I could try to be a valet for the Pimp. Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, you might be able to, but I mean, I've had them before, but most of the time I don't really need them. So.
Well, another good combination. If you don't like Reese peanut butter cups, we'll settle for tortilla chips and salsa.
Yes. Yeah, I don't like that either.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, 1, 2, 3, not it.
How about pumpkin pie and whipped cream?
Well, that's pretty good.
Oh, okay. All right.
My wife likes it.
That's always a plus, yes. Okay. Well, Dale, did you ever make any road trips to Longview, Washington with Buddy Wayne? Longview, Washington.
Oh, my God. You know, I've been down there a lot of times. And, I mean, we were training right down there in Portland. So I've been through Longview a lot of times with Buddy when we were training. Because, I mean, back when we were training, it was like you had Scott Ferris, I mean, Richie Magnet, Jeff Magruder, and I mean, those are and J.W. Hawk, these are the guys that trained us all. I went through there all the time. Probably never did a show down there with Buddy. Most
did
of my shows were with Buddy up on the road through Canada.
Whoa, okay. Did you ever do any wrestling matches with Dutch Savage?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
I knew all the guys, but, I mean, I never went, I never strayed that far.
Wow, okay. Yeah, that is a long way from Canada to Portland, yes.
Well, I live here in Seattle, so
yes.
It's all good. But,
oh, okay.
You know, back then you didn't cross territories, you know? So the only time you did that is when you weren't being featured on the other ones. So, yeah, 1, 2, 3, not it. Or when they were done, then everybody went their own ways.
That's true. They like to keep it kayfabe. Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, back in those days, plenty of chances,
yes,
to go to the WWF and do all their stuff down in California, do their house shows, yada, yada, yada. And I said, no, I ain't going. I mean, I'm not going to go down there and have somebody hand me my ass in a squash match. And we've got the tag team belts here in Canada, where they showed the shows here in Washington and Oregon. And then, you know, that's not good business. You're the champ here, and then you go down there, and one of the guys down there just cream you. 1, 2, 3, not it.
See,
that
and a lot
was
of
good
kids,
rub between me and the boys from Canada. I wasn't going to go down there and do that.
A lot of kids these days don't even know the term squash match. Yes.
Most of them don't. They got no idea.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Gail, the WWE has announced that the 2019 WWE Hall of Fame class, it will take place on April 6th, and the inductees will include the tag team Harlem Heat, Booker T and Stevie Ray, DX's Triple H, Shawn Michaels, China, Billy Gunn, Road Dogg, and X-Pac, Torrey Wilson, and the Honky Tonk Man. Those rumors will be under consideration as late entries for 2019 include Taz, Brutus the Barber Beefcake, and the Hart Foundation, Bret Hart, and Jim Neidhart. Now, this is this year's class. Now, a look at the 2018 class saw Goldberg being inducted by Paul Heyman, Ivory being inducted by one of my favorites, Molly Holly, Double J Jarrett was inducted by Road Dogg, Hillbilly Jim was being inducted by Jimmy Hart, and Mark Henry was being inducted by The Show. And the Dudley Boys were inducted by Edge and Christian. In addition, the 2018 Celebrity Hall of Fame selection for the WWE was Kid Rock, and he was inducted by Triple H. In your opinion, what class is going to be bigger, 2019 or 2018?
Oh, boy. I'll tell you what. Which class was the Honky Tonk Man in? 18?
That was, let me see, was that the Honky Tonk Man? Oh, that's going to be this year's class, 2019.
For 2019. I mean,
yes.
I probably think that only because it's him, started out up in Canada before I did, okay? He worked for Al Tomko, too. So, I got a flyer out here somewhere in some of my memorabilia when he was a skinny little shit, about 175 pounds. And I got to go with 2019.
Whoa, okay. Very interesting. Very good choice. I got to tell you, Mark Henry being inducted by The Big Show, now those are two huge people.
Oh,
Mark
Henry.
Definitely.
Yep.
Yes. Did you know Mark Henry was on the Olympic weightlifting team, or he was selected?
Yeah, I mean, really. So, I mean, that's how he got there.
Yes. Yes. All right. Well, now, you and Sign Guy, earlier in the show, went over managers. In your opinion, was Sherry Martel, who managed the Harlem Heat, one of the best managers in history? Sherry Martel.
Well, very good worker, okay? But not, I mean, her managerial skills were there, but they didn't get the push that they deserve and actually to make them over. I mean, she's right below, I mean, Jimmy, Bobby, you know, I mean, as far as a woman manager, I mean, you get back, I mean, it's just, yeah. I mean, she's right there, but I'm like, she's okay.
Okay.
There weren't that
many
female managers. So, she did really good.
All right. Okay. Well, Dale, a seminal moment in the Saturday Night Live history happened when Christopher Walken, who played the part of record producer Bruce Dickinson, was in a skit with the band Blue Oyster Cult, and they were singing the song Don't Fear the Reaper. At one point, Christopher Walken said, "Gentlemen, I have a fever, and the only prescription is more cowbell." My question is, were you ever in a cowbell on a match?
Are you kidding me? I don't think I've been in a lot of them, but I don't think there's been one with a cowbell.
Oh, okay.
I've been a lot of them with boots, hats, ropes, chains. I mean, but I don't think a cowbell.
Oh, okay. Well, when the cowbell on that skit with this cowbell on Saturday Night Live, when they worked out their situation, Bruce Dickinson told Blue Oyster Cult that when he was through with them, they would be wearing gold-plated diapers. My question is, did you ever slam a wrestler so hard, either male or female, that they had to wear diapers that were not gold?
No, never that hard.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. Well, Dale, both Sign Guy and I have our homework assignment in sending you some Y period, T period, Jones period footage, this manager from Alaska. And if we have time, we'll send you that cowbell skit from Saturday Night Live with Bruce Dickinson.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
That would be a lot of fun.
Okay. Back to you, Sunday.
Thank you, QT. Well, Dale, we all have been on shows where at the end of the night we get the pay, and it's the biggest pay that we've ever seen for our services. Without giving specifics away, if you don't want to, do you remember the show where you made your biggest payday?
Oh, my God, really? Everybody knows there's no big payday in wrestling. So how's that?
Fair enough.
Back in our days, we were happy to get gas money.
Now, speaking of gas, when you were wrestling in the territorial system, one of the things that plagued wrestling really bad back then was rampant steroid abuse. You saw a lot of guys lose their lives prematurely because the abuse they put themselves through while taking so much steroids to try to maintain the size that they needed to have the top spots in wrestling. Looking back on things, do you think in the places that you wrestled, steroids were a big problem, or do you think that it wasn't so much in the areas where you were at the time?
Well, you know, I mean, back in our days, kind of like steroids were kind of the, okay, well, here I can gain all this and do all that and everything else. I mean, and I mean, I'll just tell you straight up, I'm not going to lie, I did them for 3 years, okay? And I mean, it got to the point where they alter your mind, they alter you. I mean, they just, they're not bad. They're not good for you, okay? I did them for 3 years and I quit. I mean, I started steroids when I was like 185 pounds, and I got up to 263 pounds. I couldn't even do anything. And, I mean, they're okay to an extent, but when you overuse them, it's just kind of like they're not good for you. It leads to an early grave, and I'm glad I found that out early because I quit doing them. And that's probably why I'm still here today, and a lot of my friends are gone. They wouldn't stop taking them.
Another thing that a lot of wrestlers have had trouble with since the dawn of wrestling really is their taxes. We see a lot of wrestlers fall into problems with the IRS, not the Mike Rotundo version, of course, but the Internal Revenue System. Being an independent contractor and wrestling in so many different places, I'm sure, made things interesting for you. What was it like at tax time when you were an independent contractor wrestling in so many different areas?
Well, a lot of times back in those days, I mean, they never issued you a 1099 to show you how much they made. A lot of the promoters back in those days, it was kind of like a one-night thing. Okay, well, come in here, I'll pay you this, and get out, you know? It's not like you gave them your Social Security number, your date of birth, and your address. I mean, everything back in those days was kind of under the table.
Fair enough. Now, we are coming up on the start of baseball season, and I know in the history of wrestling, a lot of wrestlers also take up softball and baseball, Sid Vicious being a very prominent softball player, as well as many others. If you were putting together Keendale Houston's wrestling softball team, who would you put at each position?
Oh, my God. You're asking me to name a bunch of them. I mean, tough questions. Well, I'd probably put Moondog Moretti behind home plate because his big fat butt can sit back there. So, I mean, I'd probably put the Olympian on first base because he's a big, tall guy. You know, and I'm going like, and I mean, that's from back in the Canada days, okay? So, I mean, I'd probably put the Frog out in right field because the guy was always like, I mean, you swear he drank 60 cups of coffee before he came to the match. And I don't know, like center field, it's hard to say. I'd probably put Razor Marone. So, I mean, left field, I don't know. It's really, I mean, as long as I can mix everybody up, I'm going like, you know, it'd be kind of like I'd put, left field's really a killer. Well, I got to come back to it. I mean, third base, I mean, I'd probably put the Goblin guy from SCW because he's so big and tall. You can't hit over third base. And I mean, shortstop, I'd probably put Dean Preston. That guy can like jump 6 feet right off his from jump street. So second base, I don't know. I would probably put Roman Reigns. So pitcher, oh my God, really? Man, it's just so hard to try to field a baseball team, run all the names through your mind. But I don't know. I might put DeBoshi pitching.
I could see that, yeah. I bet he'd probably be the master of the forkball.
Well, yeah. But, well, sign guy's the coach. So.
I can do that.
Yeah.
Well, Bill, we're coming up to the end of the program today, so I want to make sure you have plenty of time. If there's anything whatsoever you want to say to the fans, plug and promote, absolutely anything you would want to plug and promote, floor is all yours.
Well, you know, I've had a lot of fun over the years, and I'm going like really, you know, NWP's doing really good. There's some companies in Oregon that are doing really good. A lot of the independents are doing really good. And they're bringing in talent to make it worthwhile to come see the show. Yeah, I mean, I miss a lot of the guys that are gone. And I mean, rest in peace, my old tag team partner, Marty Masters, Buddy Wayne. I'm like, the guys were part of my history. And I really miss them. I wish they were still here. But there is a lot of guys and a lot of people. And if it wouldn't be for guys like you, Sign Guy, this would be a dying art. You keep it alive, and you keep everybody on their toes, even me being an old fart. Yeah, I mean, it's guys like you that make it worthwhile. I'll be back in the ring again, okay? I haven't totally given up yet. I still have both the belts that used to be seen on TV up in Canada. I still have them both. I have Marty's and I have mine. And that's something that'll never go away. The wrestling business has always taught me to be grateful and humble for the fans. That if you don't have the fan base, you won't go anywhere. So always remember to all you young guys, treat the fans with respect. They're the ones that pay your wages. Don't ever turn your back on them. Heel or baby, after the show, still talk to them and shake their hand.
Wise, wise words. And you let me know when the comeback is happening because I want to be there for that for sure.
I would love to have you ref it. That way,
my pleasure, absolutely. You just let me know time and place and I'm there.
That way I can grind my teeth in your forehead.
Yay!
And
wouldn't be the first time that's happened.
Do you know who gave me the idea to do that?
Who's that?
Buddy Rose.
Wow.
Great man.
I can definitely see Buddy Rose coming up with that.
Yes. I mean, I learned that when he leaned over the ropes and told a really old lady that was really ragging on him, he told her, take your false teeth out, put them in backwards, and go eat yourself.
Ooh.
That's where I learned that from.
I could definitely see that.
Yeah.
Well, Dale, it has been our absolute pleasure to have you back on the show. I appreciate you taking the time today to be with us, as you have in the past, and I look forward to the comeback. I will be there.
All right, Sign Guy. I greatly appreciate it.
All right, fans, get ready for the comeback for when Kingdale Houston returns. He will be back. I will be there for sure. If you're unfamiliar with him, jump on the YouTube, search out Kingdale Houston. He's been around for quite a while, has a lot of great stuff up there I think you'll enjoy. Possibly you'll even get to see him with Arnold the Pig.
Uh-oh, leave the pig out of this.
Oh, come on.
Oh, no piggy poo.
I love that pig. I can't help it.
I have videos at the house of Arnold the Pig.
I might have to venture out there to take a look at that.
Yeah. Yep, I got him on VHS.
Ooh.
All right, I look forward to seeing that because I love that pig. Fans, we will be back with you next week. Next Friday afternoon, we have Gene Miller, a promoter, with us. And a week from today, we wrap up currently an active month with Karn Alexander. So definitely be here to join us when we talk to Karn, my old road partner. And we'll talk to you soon.
Well, I will listen to your show next week, buddy.
Thank you, brother.
Bye.
Be the way you wanted me to be, but you're leaving and I miss you, you know. You could be the mountains, I could be the sea, 'cause I've been tearing us apart and miss you. Talking in sleep when you're all alone, waiting on me to come back home. I can see you walking far away, I don't know why, so I'll just wait. I'll just wait. Half a man you needed one is whole, but I was given everything 'cause I miss you, you know. You're talking in your sleep when you're all alone, waiting on me to come back home. I can see you walking far away, I don't know how. Talking in your sleep.